The Thread is a new hit podcast from Ozzymedia that explores history's surprising connections in order to discover how one thing leads to another, like how movie moguls in early Hollywood helped spark the Me Too movement today. Get it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen.
With Colin out,
what?
Here's Doug Gottlieb.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd. In for Colin Cowherd. Slightly younger, much more debonair. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to the show, thanks so much for making us part of your day. Live from still overcast, cool Los Angeles, where we, unlike many of you in the Midwest and soon on the East Coast, experience in a heat wave. It's going to be 75 at the beaches, 80 in the basin, 85, 90 in the valley every day, and then, of course, get a little hotter, I think, the end of next weekend. Summer will fully arrive, but the summer of LeBron has begun. LeBron James opts out of his contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That came down the line from various Twitter handles earlier today. That is not a surprise. Not a surprise. LeBron James has won every right to opt out. That's why his contracts are written as such. And two, he ain't opting in when you can make more money and control your own destiny. Outside of that, what was really, you know, why would he do it? So LeBron opts out, and LeBron is a free agent. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but today, the 29th of June, is Kawhi Leonard's birthday. Happy birthday. And the Spurs wished him happy birthday. Never has a Twitter handle been so awkward since, I guess, probably when the Toronto Raptors congratulated Dwayne Casey on being the coach of the year after he was fired as their head coach. I love NBA Twitter. I really do. So here's where we stand as of today. Various reports yesterday about the Lakers and the Celtics engaged in talks regarding Kawhi Leonard. The Celtics, per their reports, non-committal about who they'd include in the deal, whereas the Lakers, the home run package has not been landed, and so I'm sure they're dipping their toe into the Kawhi waters, understanding that there's a reason that Magic said what he said a couple days ago. We'll get to that. And then you have LeBron James. Now, I'll give you what I know based upon the people I know and trust in the NBA. And then I'll give you in a second what I think about LeBron and the sitting, waiting for something to happen before he makes that move. Let's start with what I know. If you're going to sit here and tell me that the Celtics are going to include Kyrie Irving in a trade, I'm going to stop listening to what you're saying. I don't think this. I know this based upon two people I know in the Celtics front office that they love Kyrie and he loves playing there. And they believe that Kyrie Irving, if he's not the best point guard in the league, he's right there in the discussion. And they know that he's a part of, he fits into how they do what they do and why they do it. The only concern with Kyrie Irving would be the knee, right? And that he had, if you know anything about the injury that he had, it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, he had his kneecap broke against the Golden State Warriors in game one of the NBA Finals, a game in which the Cavs lost in overtime. He had three screws put in, needing a wire that tied them all together. His first surgery this year was to take the wire out because it was irritating him underneath the skin. Can you just imagine that? Like the feeling of itching and scratching underneath the skin? That sounds so painful. And then he had the three screws removed because one of them looked like it could be infected. If the knee bone, if the kneecap itself gets infected, now you got a major problem for the rest of his life, not just the rest of his career. They believe his knee will be fine. That's their only concern. They think Kyrie's a better defensive player than you think. They think he's a better passer than you think. And they already know that everybody knows what a great scorer he is, especially in and around the basket. And oh yeah, by the way, while LeBron made one of the great defensive plays in the history of the NBA, blocking Andre Iguodala a couple years ago in Game 7, it was Kyrie who at times carried them offensively and made the big three. None of these facts are lost on the Boston Celtics. More than anything, The Boston Celtics are run by a coach who's brilliant, and they believe Kyrie Irving is brilliant. They get him. He gets them. Not changing. In addition, I've heard, well, why don't you throw Gordon Hayward in there? How good is Gordon Hayward? Gordon Hayward isn't just really good. He was an all-star going back a year ago with the Utah Jazz. Harder to be an all-star in the West, especially in a place like Utah. He's gotten better every year in his career. He can guard and play four positions on each side of the floor. He doesn't have to be the leading scorer, or the best player, or a superstar. He's getting his money. He's very, very happy. But more than anything, he did, in fact, play for Brad Stevens in college. That does matter. In addition, he too likes the culture of the Celtics. Those two aren't going anywhere. And then you have, well, Jason Tatum, who, if it was a one-for-one Tatum for Kawhi, I would probably do it. The problem is that it's not simply that easy. Okay? Jason Tatum is on a rookie contract for three more years. Kawhi Leonard's got one more year, and they have no idea, nor they've been given any thoughts that Kawhi would want to stay. So 3 years of Jason Tatum not yet in the prime of his career, or 1 year of Kawhi Leonard. And if you remember, when Gordon Hayward signed with the Celtics, when they traded for Kyrie Irving, one of the statements that Danny Ainge made was that both of them fit in age-wise and career-wise to their plan to be successful and competitive during a certain stretch of time. Like, they don't want, they're the two cows at the top of the pasture. They're not the one that wants to run down and run back. They want to walk down and stay down for a while. So then you're left with Jaylen Brown, draft picks, Terry Rozier, other backups. And even then, the Celtics are like, look, we'd do it, but we have no idea if he'd stay. Don't be fooled. NBA teams leak stories to our NBA writer brethren. The Lakers are the destination for Kawhi Leonard this year or next year. He has let it be known to everybody in the league that's where he wants to play. Do the best you can. If not, we'll do this dance next year. I'll just go and you won't get anything. And the people who are leading you to believe that the Spurs have leverage are the San Antonio Spurs. They don't do this very often. Right? They have a great general manager, great front office, but you know what you don't ever see them engaged in? Trade talks with their star players. And the team I would least want to do business with is not the Lakers. It's the Celtics. Because they keep winning all these damn trades. So by my estimation, it feels like the Kawhi thing will probably get done. The only question with the Lakers is, are you willing to play hardball? Are you willing to say, hey, you know what? We're not giving you Ingram and Kuzma. We'll give you one or the other. That's a fair trade. We'll give you a couple draft picks, and you'll give us somebody who doesn't want to be there. I think that's the question. You know, when you walk in on a negotiation, are you willing to walk away? Is your level of confidence? Magic Johnson said earlier this week, remember he was laughed, people killed him for saying, hey, if I don't get guys in the next 2 years, I'll quit. You don't have to fire me. You feel like Magic Johnson's not speaking out of turn here. He feels that Kawhi's coming regardless. So either give him to us now or we'll wait a year and give it to us then. But are you willing to walk away from the table? Especially with Paul George, who you could have had last year, but maybe didn't have the assets to pull off the move. Or maybe Indiana didn't want to give in to his wishes and trade him to the Lakers. Well, whatever the reason is, last year you didn't do it. Now you might not get Paul George.
This is the Herd Podcast.
I do love the Kawhi Leonard, his uncle is upset because when they re-upped his shoe deal, wasn't a big boon money-wise. Like, look, we could say it's because San Antonio and San Antonio is kind of boring, but it should be pointed out that Kawhi Leonard is really boring. Like, I think Kawhi Leonard is great. Not good, great. I'm willing to say third best player in the NBA. Plays both ends. Can post up, can handle the ball. Become a much, much better shooter than I think anybody thought possible. And can guard all those positions. But if you think playing in San Antonio is the only reason that he got shortchanged in his shoe deal, like, come on. There's a personality in there. No, there's not. It's okay. Like, we don't all have to have big personalities. We don't all have to have you know, cameras in front of us to be comfortable and be a salesman. No, no, no. Got to know who you are. Nonetheless, it does. There's a lot of stories out there. This one is great. San Antonio has informed teams it preferred target in any a Kawhi Leonard trade. The Celtics is Jason Tatum. Teams have noted this is likely a negotiation tactic, widely believed in league circles that Boston is more likely to propose a deal centered around Kyrie Irving and future picks. But based upon previous behavior, the Celtics are unlikely to overpay for Leonard. I've talked to a Celtic source and they're like, we're not trading Kyrie and we're not trading Jason Tatum. What else you got? Philadelphia's internal discussions have focused on potential trade packages offering various young players and future draft selections. One team source says preliminary discussions with San Antonio revealed the Spurs have a strong interest in a package of burgeoning forwards Dario Saric, Robert Covington, as well as future first-round picks. A potential more serious offer Philadelphia is weighing internally includes Saric, Covington, and the 2021 Miami Heat unprotected first-round pick the Celtics obtained in their draft night deal with the Phoenix Suns. Like 2021? What? Like what? We don't know what the age restriction is going to be. We don't know what the draft is going to look like. We don't know if the Miami Heat are going to be any good by then. Oh, that is betting on. I'll tell you what, the Miami Heat are going to be terrible in 2021. Let's gobble up that pick. We don't even know if we're going to have a lottery system by then. Remember, they changed the lottery deal in one offseason. They're going to change it again at some point. I mean, that is trusting the process to the nth degree. I mean, if you can tell me what's going to happen in 2021, I need you to buy some stocks for me right now. Right. Because all of these same people, I'm sure you thought, you know, 2 years ago, Donald Trump's going to be president, right? Oh, yeah, I saw that one coming. Cubs are going to break the curse. The Celtics are going to have the best young talent in the NBA. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Cavs are going to come back from 3-1 down. You could have told me that, any of these things, 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance. I can tell you this, the Heat are going to be crummy in 2021. Okay, good. Good to know. Noted. Sometimes we got to do business with unsavory types, right? You just do. Sometimes you got to do business with unsavory types. I mean, really, that's the reason that so many of these apps now have taken place of buying tickets from a scalper, right? Because you just, even if the scalper is a regular looking dude, you're like, yeah, he's still a scalper. But now you pick secondary ticket mark has become like a legitimate business enterprise where it always used to be you go to the corner, a guy would hold up a sign and said, I need two tickets. By the way, trying to explain to somebody who doesn't understand why they hold up a sign that says, I need two tickets, why they actually don't need two tickets is a great, that's like an Abbott and Costello who's on first conversation. Why does he have a sign up that says, I need two tickets? Well, he doesn't actually need two tickets. He wants to sell you two tickets. So why doesn't he have a sign that says, I want to sell you two tickets? You got to understand how the laws are written against scalping. And it's just kind of the thing we all do. That makes no sense. It makes total sense if you've ever been to a ball game before. Anyway, I was thinking about Breaking Bad, and Ryan Music's my producer. He's like me. Everyone tells him, you got to do Game of Thrones. Have you done Game of Thrones? I have not done Game. Have you done Sons of Anarchy? I have not done either. I can't have a conversation with you until you watch those two. What are you doing? What do you even watch? I'll bet you watch those like HDTV shows. Yeah, I do. Sorry. House Hunters International. Which, I mean, they always pick out the worst places in House Hunters International. Like, yeah, we thought we were going to live on like $400 and turns out it's like $5,000 and it's, but we're going to do it. We're going to just do it. I was that guy with Breaking Bad. I was. Took me a long time. And I want to point this out. I think Breaking Bad is awesome. It is not the best television show ever. What it might be is, might have the best premise of a television show ever. Colin says this all the time, and he's right. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin, by the way. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Says it all the time. If you tell me what it is in two sentences, and I like it, you got yourself a show. Right? two or three sentences. Can you tell me what it is? I mean, Breaking Bad, chemistry teacher, has cancer, sells meth to pay for his cancer treatment. Like, I'm in. In. What a great premise. Right? What an incredible, like, wow. Becomes the world's most renowned meth chef because of his background as a chemistry teacher that he initially used, he initially got into because he wanted to pay for cancer treatment and he couldn't afford to do so otherwise. Amazing, right? Really amazing. I don't think it's the best, TV show ever. I don't. Cheers is the best TV show ever. Just aware. But I think the premise of it is amazing. And here's the thing. I don't think Walter White wanted to sell meth. That's part of he did have this internal evil side, which ultimately comes out, right? It's the opposite of Better Call Saul, right? Which is the spinoff, the prequel to it, to which Saul is a bad guy that somehow kind of becomes a good guy. Walter White's a good guy that becomes a bad guy. It's amazing. The point is, I don't think he really wanted to. But in order to get everything paid for, all cash is what you have to do. And then if you're going to sell meth, you don't want to sell to the cartel, but you're going to sell it yourself? You're going to put yourself out in the front line? We saw how that worked out. The Spurs don't want to deal to the Lakers. They don't. I mean, do they want to give the Lakers Kawhi Leonard? If they do, you give the Lakers Kawhi Leonard and anything, and you let them keep anything that they have. It would be assumed you're giving them a shot at an NBA title. And while the Spurs have been the picture of consistency, the Lakers have been a laughingstock. We're talking 5 years now. Between the end of, like, look, the Spurs laugh at the idea. Kobe Bryant had one of the most incredible last games. He basically was Derek Jeter, right? Derek Jeter goes 5 for 5 in his last game as a Yankee. Kobe Bryant has 60 in his last game. I mean, I don't care how hard you think somebody's playing. To have 60 in an NBA game, period, is superhuman. To do it when you got a bad Achilles, a bad knee, and it's your last NBA game, and everybody's and you drop 60? It was insane. But the Spurs are sitting over there laughing. Like, yeah, they're celebrating Kobe going for 60 in a meaningless game. Meanwhile, we're preparing to try and get an NBA championship. They can't get high-quality free agents. We get LaMarcus Aldridge whenever we wanted one. And we already had a center. We had Tim Duncan. We got his heir apparent. So the Spurs, they take great joy in the downfall of the Lakers. You can point to the Lakers were between the Spurs and winning back-to-back championship. Remember, the Spurs, many people don't consider, myself included, you can't consider them a dynasty because they never won back-to-back titles. Every other dynasty in NBA history has won back-to-back titles, with the exception of the Spurs. Now, the Spurs should have beaten LeBron the first time around when they missed free throws. They should have done a better job of defending late game situation. Derek Fisher hitting that fishy fish net. 0.4 seconds to go. I mean, but the Lakers stood in between the Spurs and being seen as the greatest modern day dynasty in NBA history. This is a 15 to 20 year run. It's really amazing. They don't want it, but Kawhi wants to be there. Everybody knows Kawhi wants to be there. That hurts his value elsewhere. He only has 1 year left in his deal, so even if you get him, you get basically 9 months to convince him that no, he's wrong. He doesn't want to be in LA. And oh yeah, by the way, the Lakers actually have some really good pieces to offer, not just first round picks, but some young players. Like, this is a deal with the devil that you probably got to make. This is the Walter White decision. I've always done things the right way. But I'm going to swallow hard and cook some meth in an RV somewhere outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm going to sell it for, you know, with the intention of paying off my cancer treatments, which is the bizarre comparison. San Antonio Spurs loading themselves up for a future run. You got DeJounte Murray. They believe they're point guard of the future. LaMarcus Aldridge, they've gotten way more out of him than anyone could have thought possible a year ago when he wanted out. Draft picks, young players, great talent evaluation. The Spurs will be solid until they land their next star, which they have in the past. Whether it's an international one like Ginobili or Parker, or a domestic one. I know that Tim Duncan comes from the islands, but he still played in the States. Even Kawhi Leonard, a draft day trade, 15th pick in the draft. They've been able to evaluate better than anybody. They don't want to, but they have to.
Catch The Herd from noon to 3 Eastern on iHeartRadio and FS1.
Let's welcome in a good friend of mine, good friend of Collins as well. He's got his own podcast. It's a really good one. When he's had his own national radio show, it's been outstanding. He's Ryan Russillo. He joins us here in The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Did I miss anything in terms of what we think as of right now?
No, that was really good. I forgot I was coming on as a guest there for a second.
My bad.
The Abiz. No. I didn't mean it that way. Like, that was really good. I was laughing about the Game 6 joke because I felt the same way about Westbrook in that game. But the Paul George thing in Abiz, like, and I know that we're supposed to pronounce it differently now, but I'm just not going to do that.
How are we supposed to pronounce it? Wait, no, tell me. I honestly don't know.
I think cool people say Ibiza.
Ibiza?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ibiza?
That was like...
Wait,
right,
Ibiza?
Was,
like...
Yeah.
Ibiza with a T-H?
T-H.
Who's the golfer like that? What's the guy with the ponytail who...
Oh, Jimenez?
Yeah. Jimenez.
I just did it again.
Yeah. All right. So if it's Ibiza... Then we also have to say, you know, scores are nil, and, you know, we have to use other pronunciation. Anyway, okay, so I totally interrupted your flow. I apologize.
No, I just think it's funny. Like, if Paul George is staying with OKC, he has this five-part Sports Center thing that he's doing. So they were probably like, look, we can't just not do anything here, you know? Like, you're going to have to go visit somebody so we get some footage. If he's not going to leave as a free agent, that's not as nearly exciting television. So let's start with the LeBron thing. Didn't stay with Cleveland in the opt-out. We knew that was going to happen. Knew that was going to happen this week. And now you're left with, if Cleveland is in play, could they have done anything? Do they know of any deals they can do to improve that team? Because I had a hard time believing that LeBron would go back to Cleveland if nothing had changed. But I had never ruled Cleveland out. I still think it's L.A., Cleveland, and Philadelphia. Now, the L.A. part of this is really weird because the sense is, Doug, that more and more people are like, you know, George might just do a one-on-one here or a two-year deal and then hit the market again when he has more service time and get an even bigger contract, which seems so weird, not because of the money part, but just him not going to L.A. when he told the Pacers, this whole saga started over 2 years ago, when he told the Pacers, hey, man, like, whatever you guys want to do, but I'm going to L.A. And now he's going to stay in Oklahoma City. So if George is out in L.A. and the Spurs Kawhi thing is held up with the Lakers, I can't fathom that LeBron would go to the Lakers by himself. That's, again, if Cleveland hasn't improved itself. But that would be as unlikely of any of these scenarios. Forget the trade, the different things. All the, like, LeBron going to play with that young core with no certainty of any other star joining him. I still can't fathom that would happen, but I'm kind of at a loss here as it seems like less guys are moving around.
Yeah, I get offered this as a different perspective. Didn't he enjoy playing with the younger guys in the regular season once they made that trade? Like, you still want to walk in the building and it'd be like, oh, hey, LeBron's here, right? Like, I understand in the playoffs, in order to win big, you have to have some experience. But if we look at Miami, he didn't win in his first year. We look in Cleveland, he didn't win in his first year, although he got to the finals in both of those years. Couldn't you sell him on, hey, dude, why don't you just come? If you come, Paul's probably coming. Kawhi's definitely coming. But more than anything, like, spend a year, get to know all of us, get to know the young pieces, see guys you like, see guys you don't like. You're not going to win this year anyway. Next year is the year in which you can pick and choose. If you don't love those guys, like, maybe get Clay, you could be in a Jimmy Butler, you can pick from whoever you want. Why not just come? Like, if he's staying in Cleveland, he's had all season to figure out a way to stay in Cleveland, to get a deal made, to have something already done. I feel like sometimes we want the table to be perfectly set for him, and that's maybe what he's used to, but isn't it at least a thought, go with the young guys, elevate all of their games, and then pick and choose who you want to add next?
Well, I see what you're saying there, but there's one major flaw in that, is that why would Paul George come after LeBron decided to go to L.A.? Like, these guys talk to each other. He is close with Paul George. Like, why would they be keeping it a secret from each other? I can understand LeBron's camp and them being very tight with all this stuff. They do a great job with it. And them not, you know, giving any kind of tell here. But if I'm LeBron, I'm not. If I want to play with Paul George, like, I know if he's staying in Oklahoma City or not. See what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to sign and be like, hey, LA, I'm coming. I'm going to do a 1 year and an option. I'm going to do the shorter term thing, even though LeBron's going to be looking for the longer one here soon. You know, I'm just going to come to LA and then I'll see what happens. He would already have the answers to that by being able to talk to all of these other guys. Like the Durant news that he talked to Durant, that was sexy. But it doesn't mean anything because Durant's not doing anything. He's not leaving Golden State. But it's also part of the bigger thing here of this offseason that LeBron's talked to all of these guys. So to me, like, it isn't news, but it also means that he should have gathered information. If all of a sudden, like, what is Paul George not going to tell LeBron ultimately, like, what he's going to do? Like, if LeBron called George and said, hey, what are you doing? Not telling you, dude. And I mean, it would be beneficial to both parties.
But you also know, I would say this, pushing guys over that threshold, right? Like, look, you walked away from your radio show. To me, that was a ballsy move. You did that took some nuts to do. It's a hard thing to do. And as much as you could say, like, hey, Paul, you know, you went and saw Dwayne Wade. He said LeBron's cool. You know, it's L.A. It's the Lakers. Like, you know, how many times you threatened to move to L.A. when you didn't do it? How many different guys have we said, well, I'm walking out that building and they didn't do it? It's just that last little push, I could see where they're communicating and he's like, I think I'm coming. I think, I need some time. I need to think it over. And he's, you know, he's kind of replay. And again, some of this is he's remembering it a lot more fondly than he should remember it. Like, if I'm the Lakers, my pitch to Paul George is just turn on the game 6 tape. And it was awful, right? It was horrendous. Watch that game 6 tape. Be like, you want more of this? More for another year?
Right. Well, I mean, the fact that he was out there and it hasn't dawned on him yet that, hey, dude, this is never going to change. This Westbrook thing is never going to change. But what you hear about Paul George, and it's not a bad thing, is that he's more impressionable. That he might be the guy the day of that's like, hey, I love it here. Like, this is awesome. I love working out with Westbrook. Like, I have heard this from numerous people this offseason that George really likes Westbrook. So even though we watch it from a basketball standpoint and go, how could anybody really enjoy this Westbrook thing? And I don't want to fight with Oklahoma City fans. Like, there's enough evidence out there that it isn't fun to play with Westbrook. And George somehow, like, whatever that is, it's potentially here, you know, because we still don't know for certain here. But the rumblings are that I just haven't heard from as many people. They're like, okay, yeah, he's going to bounce. I'd heard from one agent, you know, a couple months ago, and then Slam Magazine ran with it and said that I was reporting George was leaving. That's not even close to what I did, but that's what everybody does now. You're right. Like, you would think that would be part of the pitch, but I mean, why would he have to go back and watch it when he was out there with him?
By the way, I'm going to aggregate all your thoughts and repeat them in my next segment. That's what I'm going to do, because that's what we've become. Ryan Russillo joining us in the herd here on Fox Sports Radio. I think guys like off-season Russ. I think they like Russ the guy. I think Russ as a human being is a great human being. I really do.
Yeah, I would agree with those. I've never heard anybody say, like, I don't like Russell Westbrook. I just think... You know, just to jump in real quick, you remember that play where Westbrook was trying to get, like, the 10th assist and they were against the Warriors,
yes,
I believe?
Yes, and the Warriors were laughing at him on the bench?
They were laughing at the bench because they were mad that the guy didn't take the shot. And it was like, that told me, I think there's these little moments, like when Kobe told Dwight Howard, I know who you are. That's all I ever needed to know about Dwight Howard, despite mountains of evidence that, you know, would also prove that Dwight's not the greatest teammate. I thought that moment told you a lot, like, dude, he's doing it again. And Durant sitting there laughing, going, this is so much more fun. Like, I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, I do too. I think it would be. Now, there is the other side to it, which no one brings up. Is it really fun to play with LeBron? You know? I mean, like, look, when he left Miami, Chris Bosh was quoted as saying, you know, Kevin Love, you go there. Remember, you're going to have to play center, which is true. Okay? And he's gonna give you the ball. And if you don't make it in the first half, you're not getting the second half. And when things go wrong, it's going to be your fault, not his fault. Like, again, if you can accept all of these things... We would all agree LeBron is great, but there is a prevailing, there is some sort of thought in the media, which I'm not sure is shared with the players, which is he's awesome to play with and he makes you better. All of those guys that were traded there performed better with their previous teams than they did when they got to play with LeBron this year, and I'm not sure how much fun they actually had. So are we only looking at it as a Westbrook and we're not looking at it as from the LeBron might not be that much fun to play with?
I'd rather have a little less fun in losing the finals than a little less fun in losing the first round.
Agreed.
But the love Bosch examples, like what you're saying, like I haven't, there's certain things I disagree with that I still have an open mind about, okay? And LeBron isn't always great to play with. I have an open mind about it. Like, yeah, if you screw up, it's going to be on you. And if he screws up the defensive rotation, it still might kind of be on you. You know, he's going to get the love because this dude is, I think sometimes we forget how amazing he is. Like, we hold every other superstar to this standard that whenever they have a bad game in the playoffs, you go like, oh, really? Is Durant all that? Is Curry all that? Is Harden all that? Is Paul all that? LeBron's doing it every single freaking game in the playoffs. So, yeah, I would listen to some of the smaller complaints, but, like, I try not to let the 10% get in the way of the 90% that's amazing. And the Bosch love stat drop-off thing, I think, is a poor... it's just poor evidence for the argument that LeBron's not actually a great teammate, because Bosch got empty stats on a barely playoff Toronto team, and Kevin Love wasn't even close to sniffing the playoff team.
No, listen.
Was, yeah, so like those guys, those stats were going to go down just by being with better players.
No question. D'Angelo Russell had a great year statistically in Brooklyn. Still, nobody who's a playoff team wants him on their roster. So I agree with you. Okay, I'm not using stats. I'm using the reality of play. If you're going to play with LeBron, you're going to play LeBron's way, right? Like they're not doing a ball movement offense. They're not doing a pick and roll offense. That's not how he plays. Like, look, you're going to play to his strengths. He's the best player. That's really more what I was getting at. And to some people, that's not much fun, right? Some people just doesn't fit. They just don't fit in with that. And have we not at least opened it up to the possibility of enough people have told him, hey, like the LeBron thing ain't that much fun.
I totally understand how it wears on you, okay? That it's this all-encompassing thing. Like, he is the sun, and you are just these. You're not even a planet sometimes. You're a moon orbiting around this thing, just like, hey, I'm along for the ride and all the attention. And when, you know, we don't do as well, we're not as good. Well, guess what? Like, sometimes that's played out, and sometimes, and I hate the word narrative, like, sometimes it's not always accurate. It was accurate this year. Like, that team wasn't any good. That was the worst team roster-wise that he had of this 8 years of final run. So, you know, if he was frustrated at times, like, I don't really blame him. You know how long? Like, I still don't have an answer. Do you know who the third best player on the Cavs was this year? I don't know. Just say, like, if somebody said life or death, I'd be like, just end it. I can't answer that.
yeah, but there's also, he's... You know, the thing that bothers me was...
Do you think he's a bad teammate? Do you think he's a bad teammate?
No, no, but I think he's like every super talented person I've ever known, I've ever worked with, in that I think he's actually a good dude. I think he's a good human being. I think he's a great player, but I don't think it's all easy. I just don't. And I also think that he has maybe a little bit too much pride. The perfect example is the Kyrie thing. Kyrie says, I'm out of the circus. I want out. You mean to tell me you don't pick up the phone and go like, hey man, let's chop it up. Let's go eat at this restaurant. I'll fly out and tell me where you want to meet. It's not about media. It's not about cameras. Let's just talk this out face to face. And then if Kyrie wants to leave, then you're like, all right, good. I'll give you my blessing. Leave wherever. But the allowing the front office to make moves and then coming out to Rachel Nichols and going like, I told him not to trade him for that package and they traded him. Like, what are you doing? Like, take some ownership over a relationship with Kyrie Irving that had become dysfunctional. But that's the part that makes it to where I'm like, he's great, but he's not exactly easy.
But I don't know if any of these guys are. Like, if we're finding, like again, I'm not telling you that you're wrong about the critiques of this, but when I look at the overall package, that this is somebody that we're legitimately talking about being at the same talent level as Michael Jordan, and it's not just a guy that gets bounced out early, that he goes to 8 straight finals, like, there's a value to that. Like, if he's such a bad teammate and it's so overwhelming and it's so bad, like, wouldn't these teams start losing more? Wouldn't they lose earlier in the playoffs? So I would agree that, yeah, there's some ownership stuff, but I still feel like post-2010, when he was made out to be the worst human ever for going down as a free agent to Miami, that's always stuck with him, that's burnt him, and they've become a little bit more protective, and they are trying to create more of the story around them because they don't, like, there is that ego and there is that pride. And yeah, he probably could have found a way to maybe repair the Kyrie thing a little bit more, and it sounds like that story a year later is that Kyrie was going to be traded on his way out, and he's like, all right, forget this. I'm out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. But when I look at the trade packages with this year and all the stuff that happened, you know, that to me was more of a personality thing. That right. Team was messed up. You know, they had to get Isaiah and Jay Crowder out of there. So, look.
How do you get Dwayne Wade out of there?
Yeah, that one's always kind of weird. I'm still expecting Wade to get like some weird contract from Miami that doesn't make a ton of sense. That's payback for him opting out in 2014. Like, I almost feel like, hey, they still owe me money. I'm going to go back down there. Is that cool? Yeah, no problem. Because they probably could have used him in the playoffs. I'm not saying it would have changed anything, but that was weird that it was just like, oh, by the way, you can go back for nothing.
I honestly think it was a personality thing. I think it was him and LeBron, and other guys were jealous of how close they were in terms of their relationship. I think it was a dysfunction. All right, here's what we got to get to, okay? Best guess, what happens?
It's either a one-year deal with Cleveland, or somebody figures out that he's teaming up with LeBron here soon. And if LeBron goes there by himself, meaning to the Lakers, I have to imagine something else is coming by the end of August.
Yeah, but that wasn't best guess. Best guess means one guess. You gave me two options, which are both very plausible options.
That's why I was so bad on SportsCenter, Doug.
Give me your best guess. What do you think happens? If I gun to your head, this is a simpler question to answer than third best player on the Cavs this year.
I've always thought that Cleveland's still very much in play here. And if no one wants to go to L.A., I thought he was going to do a short deal in Cleveland. So I'm giving you my best guess. But like, as soon as I find out, like, if Paul George or Kawhi, you know, end up there, like, I don't see him going back to Cleveland. So, yeah, I'm not giving you just the best guess. Those are my two thought-out, rational points.
Okay, maybe I'll work backwards. Do you think Kawhi Leonard gets traded to L.A.?
I think Kawhi and his camp have totally screwed this up. Like, if they just wanted to go to the Lakers, that's exactly what they should have said. They should have controlled the message so everybody else knew to not even bother bidding on him because it was a one-year rental. I can't believe they did this thing where they played it out. So now the Lakers' price goes up. He'll have less assets that he teams up with there. But, yeah, and by the way, the Spurs, no one has told me they've even offered him the Supermax, which may have solved all of their problems in just keeping him there. So if they don't offer him the Supermax, he's going to bounce. It seems like it's heating up more. So my best guess was that he ends up with the Lakers.
So if he ends up with the Lakers, then LeBron ends up with the Lakers. And then what does Paul George do?
Gets to watch a bunch of bad shot attempts and eat sushi in OKC.
Hey, there's some sushi in Nico's actually really good in Oklahoma City. I'm just going to point out. It's not Nobu, but it's the Nobu of the northern part of Oklahoma City, at Northwest Oklahoma City. So I just want to... it's not Northwest. It's just
I wish I had known that, because I got into... I was there for a Sooners game, so I stayed back in Oklahoma City, and it was, you know, those college game day trips back in the day. It was Halloween. I'm getting yelled at on the phone, and I ordered some delivery pizza, and it was so bad, I called to complain, and then the owner of the pizza place called me back in the hotel room to threaten me, said he was coming by.
That's awesome.
Pretty great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if that guy knows what you look like in person. Ryan Russillo, the king of Manhattan Beach. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thanks, Doug.
All 3 hours of The Herd are always streaming on The Herd Channel on the iHeartRadio app.